And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
It is soul-searching time for McDavid Fantasy Owners, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 16, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Elberga joined alongside Jake Conn. What's going on, Jake?
Always here to do a little soul-searching with you, Nick, and trying to figure out the waves of fantasy hockey and the gambling space. So, as always, good to be here. This episode brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Tell you what, Jake, another jam-packed pod coming your way. News and notes. Pete Jensen will be by to break down your waiver wire for this week. And Chris Meany will be by for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. But yes, Connor McDavid will sit for three games, all home games, Washington, Vancouver, and Buffalo. What's this mean for Edmonton?
Well, it means it's Draisaitl time, right? As you know, Nick, it's not the first time we have seen McDavid miss some games, right? Usually it's injury related. Not often is he gooning it up and getting suspended for three games with that vicious cross check. I'm a little shocked they went to three games, to be honest, just the way that we usually deal with these things. Superstar player, not a lot of history, but they clearly wanted to send a message. I mean, you cross check a guy in the face, you probably do deserve three games, even if you're a superstar player. So I think from a fantasy perspective, we obviously look at Draisaitl to step up, but maybe we can find some other guys in that lineup. I don't know if you're eyeing up a couple players, because Draisaitl's obvious. We know he always steps up in the absence of McDavid, but is there anybody else on that roster, Nick, that you're looking at, you know, over these next few games that maybe we can play that angle?
Is it my guy Adam Henrique, who moves up to 2C? Because I know, like, McDavid and Draisaitl play together quite a bit, and I think they obviously become rather top-heavy, but who moves into the 2C hole there is my question. Maybe it's Adam Henrique. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe they slot somebody differently. But, like, that's sort of my look at things from the Edmonton perspective now. Okay, McDavid sits, but who elevates in minutes is the question.
Rico's an interesting name because he's a guy, a veteran player that's been able to produce basically in any situation throughout the course of his career, right? Even as a third liner at times, he finds ways to produce. But if you give him top 6 minutes and a decent line assignment, he is a guy that can get it done. So I don't mind that. I think keep an eye on practice line combinations, all these sorts of things. But I think in the short term, maybe something we could take advantage of there in Edmonton. Look, if you're a McDavid owner, you're just going to have to eat this one. There's no replacing McDavid for the next three games. It is what it is. And hey, you're hoping if you're not a McDavid owner that you just happen to be facing the McDavid owner this week.
Well, that's exactly it, and we're going to hop more back on that topic later on with Chris Meany, how to attack the Oilers. Maybe you fade the Oilers in the next couple games with no McDavid, maybe some props to play as well coming up. But let's tie this into some Tavares and Hintz injury replacements, since they're both centers. So Tavares week to week, lower body injury. Hintz day to day, upper body injury. I think internally, in-house, you're looking at Pontus Holmberg, who played 2C. I don't know if I'm endorsing a pickup of him. And for Dallas, Maverick Bork is a guy who's been elevated to the top six. But if you're looking in general for some center replacement options, I got Tomas Hertl with Vegas, Morgan Frost with Philadelphia, Logan Cooley scored a beauty against Winnipeg on Monday, and Brock Nelson's another guy I would look at.
Maybe not a center specifically, Nick. This guy's a winger, but somebody I think to keep an eye on, we've talked about a couple times throughout the course of the year, Pavel Dorofeev out in Vegas.
Yeah.
He was one of the hottest fantasy commodities there for a stretch early in the season, and then he went in the cooler like you wouldn't believe, like absolute cooler. Couldn't pick up a point for a very long time. He's back. He's hot. I think he's a guy, if he's sitting on your waiver wire, someone gave up on him, I would certainly go look to him. And another guy that's been in a cooler in a huge way, New York Rangers forward Will Cooley. Nick, he was hot again, kind of like Dorofeev, went freezing cold. He picked up a point over the weekend. Maybe a guy to keep an eye on here if he can heat things back up.
I like those two little shouts right there. Mikhail Sergachev banged up for Utah, upper body injury day to day. In-house, Michael Kesselring. Couple interesting names to look at in the back end, Jake, if you look for a replacement option. We'll start with the guys who have been there throughout the season, then we'll head to Edmonton for a second. But Seth Jones, 6 points in the last four. Oliver Ekman-Larsson's got 4 points in the last two for Toronto. And we talked about Mason Lowry last week as well.
We did mention Mason Lowry. I still like that one quite a bit. And he's a guy I think that has, with or without Charlie McAvoy, has kind of earned that power play time, or at least a look. We saw him do some good things late last year as well. I'll give you one more name, Nick. This one's a little bit of a deep league play. Darren Radish in Tampa, getting a look on that first power play unit. Who wouldn't want to be on that first power play unit? I'd pick you up if you were snapping passes over to Nikita Kucherov. So I like Radish if he's in that, if he's going to continue with that role. Another goal and an assist on Monday night against the Maple Leafs. Probably a deep league play, but I think someone to look at if you're looking for some short-term help on the back end.
I can comfortably say the name Darren Radish has never been brought up on this podcast, so that's a first. Is a first for everything. Yeah. Can I interest you in John Klingberg? By the way, when I have had John Klingberg on my fantasy roster, the best fantasy name in my, you know, time playing fantasy hockey, John Klingberga. I love it. It's perfect. It speaks for itself. For now, Jake, I'm going to put him on my watch list. So he signs with the Oilers. Obviously, he's not going to supersede Evan Bouchard, but I think he could run PP2 for the Oilers.
Personally, I prefer Stage 5 Klingberg myself, but that's a good one. Okay. There's a lot of ways you can go with John Klingberg. From a fantasy perspective, you're going to have to sell me on picking him up. Like, I don't know what the role is going to be. We're seeing some clips of him skating. He looks pretty good. Coming off a hip surgery is obviously not an easy thing, especially for a bit of a veteran guy here. Hasn't played, you know, competitive pro hockey for quite some time, and coming off an injury like that, it's an uphill battle. So look, if he shows some life, if he gets a decent assignment, maybe some power play time, it's obviously tough with Bouchard there. I'd have some interest, but it would probably be a deep league play, Nick. I don't know if he's going to be able to carve out enough of a role for himself in that offense to make himself fantasy relevant.
Yeah, that's like a 16-team league, and you're looking for a defenseman. I don't think a long-term look for John Klingberg is going to be advisable, at least at this point in time. JT Miller, I think, is a very unique name. We've been talking about him quite a bit over the last couple of months. It seems like something's going to come to a head. And I thought it'd be a good time to talk about potential fantasy fits. Like, what's the best fit in terms of a trade outcome for a JT Miller? Jake, he's been linked to the Rangers, obviously, the Devils, Carolina, and the Dallas Stars. Before we get into some buy-low value on some Canucks and other guys, where do you think the best logical fit is fantasy-wise for JT Miller?
Yeah, it's a great conversation. I think if you're a JT Miller owner, you're thinking, okay, I kind of just want him to get dealt at this point because it's not really happening for the Canucks this year, and there just seems like there's dark cloud hanging over the team. And a few weeks ago, I would have said, you know, Vancouver's probably not going to make any sort of deal, but the more you hear, the more you feel like something could actually happen over these next few weeks with a possible JT Miller trade. Dallas would probably be the lowest on my list for me, Nick, just because we know they like to spread things out so much that if he joins that group of forwards, is there going to be enough to go around for you to really be happy in fantasy hockey? I think the Rangers are actually a decent fit for him, at least from a fantasy perspective, and Carolina is another one that jumps out to me that feel like they could use a little bit of an extra punch up front, kind of like what they did with Jake Guentzel last year. So I think Carolina would be the team I'd be hoping for.
For me, it would be Carolina. You maybe pair him with Martin Natchez. You have the Aho-Svechnikov pairing on line one. The Rangers, I sort of get it, but I don't. Like, they're a team that's been in turmoil all season long, and you're going to add a guy who's coming from the same type of headaches in Vancouver. I know you're reuniting with a potential guy, but, like, I don't know why they're so steadfast in picking up a guy who's got some baggage from earlier this season with another team. Like, you're telling me he's going on Broadway and suddenly everything's going to go away and, like, things are going to be good for the Rangers. I just don't buy that.
It's like getting back with the ex-girlfriend that, you know, exactly. it's probably not a good idea, but yeah, you're tempted enough that you want to do it. And then you end up realizing, well, yeah, this is why we broke up in the first place. this is perfect analogy. Why'd we decide to go back down this road? So look, from a fantasy perspective though, if I'm a Miller owner and I saw a trade to the Rangers, I don't think I would hate it because I look at a legitimate spot in that top six. He'd probably get to play with some really good players. So I think the production could be there. I just don't know about the fit and why the Rangers would feel the need to go down that road, but it's going to be interesting to follow over the next couple weeks here.
To be clear, you're not cutting bait, right? You're standing tight on JT Miller.
I think so. I mean, yeah. Maybe if you even want to get real risky, if you like the file enough or you like the potential of a trade, you go out and try to acquire him. I don't know. I probably wouldn't do that. But if you're feeling it enough and if you buy in the fact that something's going to happen here, maybe that is a move that you make. But yeah, I right now, if I'm a Miller owner, I'm just standing, hoping and praying he ends up in a good spot.
Would you be shocked if Miller gets traded and the Vancouver Canucks go on an epic run? I wouldn't. No. I would say first and foremost, Elias Pettersson, that file is like the Undertaker. It's sat up a bit think, you know, again, considering how bad his start was, I think fantasy owners just happy he's actually producing right now, which is great news. But I actually think it's a really good buy low time on Vancouver in general, Jake.
Fire up the Undertaker gif. And I like what you said there too, right? Anytime we're doom and gloom on a team or you're thinking, okay, they're going to make some sort of move that is, you know, more for the negative and it's going to put them on a downhill trajectory, sometimes the opposite happens where you get rid of a player, you know, everyone kind of takes a breath and goes, okay, we've still got some talented players here. And I don't know how far the run would be, but at least making the playoffs, I think would still be a possibility after making that trade. And I need to see some life out of Elias Pettersson, Nick. I know we're talking Miller and the potential and what we could look at for him in fantasy moving forward, but EP40 makes too much money. I don't care who's there. I don't care who he's friends with. He's got to start producing at a higher clip.
I can confirm there's a pulse at the very least. That's great news on the fantasy front for Elias Pettersson. Here we go, Jake. Week 16, January 20th to 26th. Of course, you've already skipped Monday, 9 games in total on Martin Luther King Day. 8 on Tuesday, 4 Wednesday, 11 Thursday, 4 on Friday, 13 Saturday, 5 on Sunday. Very busy week, 55-game slate. The 4-game teams, Boston, Buffalo, Carolina, Colorado, Columbus, Florida, Minnesota, Ottawa, San Jose, Tampa, Utah, Vegas, and Winnipeg. And the 2-game teams, they just got called out by their head coach, the New Jersey Devils, who, by the way, playing Boston on Wednesday, and a little foreshadowing for my bet later on. I wonder if we see a little bit of a response from the Devils there.
Well, I mentioned Dorofeev on Vegas, who has a busy week. I like that. He's already off to a good start. Florida's another team I think to keep an eye on this week, Nick, with that California road trip that isn't quite as hard as it used to be, right? You get the Sharks in there. You get the Ducks. I mean, the Kings are pretty solid, but they did give up, 5 to Pittsburgh on Monday night. So I think the Panthers have a pretty decent schedule. Maybe we keep an eye out for some secondary players in Boston. They put up a 6 spot on Monday as well. And, you know, kind of starting to click a little bit offensively. So maybe we could find some value in some of the deeper players on the Bruins roster.
It's interesting. Ever since that story came out like early last week, Pastrnak's been on a different planet. So has Brad Marchand. So maybe that's awakened the beast a bit with the Boston Bruins. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the entire waiver wire list as we bring in Pete Jensen. And we'll start with a name Jake's brought up 17 times already, Pavel Dorofeev, Pete.
Right. This guy was in the cooler, like he said, but had a really good shot volume in that long goal drought that he had. I like the spot that he's in on line 2 with Tomas Hertl and Victor Olofsson, who's been very productive when he's been healthy this year. You just step back and look at the entire league right now, surprises and disappointments. I know that it was a disappointment that Jack Eichel couldn't put that one home on Monday night. That was a head scratcher for sure. But generally speaking, Vegas is a safe team now and moving forward. I think they're a top 3 team in the entire NHL in terms of Stanley Cup futures appeal too.
Yeah, I promise I won't bring up Dorofeev again until at least the next episode, but that's as far as I'll go because I do like this guy. And like you said, Pete, not afraid to shoot the puck and the finishing ability. I mean, 20 goals now. The guy's on pace for well over 30, maybe going to flirt with like 35 this year. So great season for Dorofeev. You're interested in a Colorado Avalanche player. Obviously, Val Nichushkin looks like he's coming back. Maybe even next game he'll be ready to go, but you're still buying into what Arturi Lehkonen's doing in that offense.
For sure. So much exposure to MacKinnon and Rantanen in different situations, one or both, first power play, even strength, the whole bag right now. It's a great situation to be in. You see guys on Colorado really igniting here over the past month, whether it's Lehkonen, Devon Taves on defense. You see the ceiling of that team on display most nights. So I know Nichushkin's nearing a return from injury. Of course, if Nichushkin's out there, if you were going to debate those two players, I might side with Nichushkin in terms of his ceiling, but like overall safety net and, you know, not having to deal with anything else, I think Lehkonen is the pick if you're picking between those two.
Just as an aside, Gabriel Landeskog, I guess the captain of Colorado, has been present at morning skate after morning skate, and maybe just put that in your periphery as a fantasy hockey owner. Pete, let's head off to Seattle and Kaapo Kakko. I know the Rangers felt this need to move the player, all the turmoil surrounding him. They've called out like 15 different players in the media, and like imagine being a Rangers player right now, but Kaapo Kakko has found a nice home in Seattle, hasn't he?
For sure. 12 points in 15 games, was held without a point on Monday night in the win against Buffalo, but had 2 shots and 17 minutes of ice time. Having multiple shots and 17 minutes plus of ice time was few and far between, sadly, during his time with the Rangers. But he's getting a bigger role, playing on a line with Matty Beniers and Jaden Schwartz. And play back the tapes, right? We were talking about how he could kind of maybe spark those couple of players that he would be playing with in Seattle's offense. Seattle, probably not a playoff team, but they're actually not too far off. A number of points, behind Calgary for the last spot in the West right now. But do any of us trust Calgary to make the playoffs? Maybe somebody steps up out there. Maybe it's Seattle, and maybe Kako gives them the little glimmer of hope here.
Petey, I always find it really difficult to figure out the Flyers' offense because, you know, one week it's one guy, one week it's another guy. Torts does like to mix things up. There was a couple young players I had my eye on coming into this year, but one has kind of maybe risen to the top a little bit recently in Morgan Frost, and you seem to like what he's doing right now.
I do. The high danger shots on goal, 85th percentile, the 20 plus mile per hour speed burst in terms of the edge stats, 82nd percentile. So he's underrated. And also, you look at the Flyers, you know, dating back to mid-December or so, near the top of the league in shots on goal allowed, really starring under Tortorella in that category. But also offensively, you look back since that span, he's tied Morgan Frost is for Philadelphia's most even strength goals over that span. So he's been cooking it for a while now, and I still don't think he's getting the recognition. He's only like 5% rostered in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues, if you could believe it.
Pretty wild stuff, and he's had an up-and-down season. So has Philadelphia in general. Who are some names to watch on the back end, Pete?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that Darren Radish is worth a mention. I know you guys touched on him earlier. The top shot speed dating back to last season was really high, 86th percentile this season. Last year, I remember he was among the league leaders at one point when nobody really knew his name. So that first power play exposure with Kucherov, Braden Point, Jake Guentzel, players of that ilk is really impressive and surprising that he would be getting that usage over Hedman at any point in the season. But I think Tampa really needs to, you know, spread it out a little bit and find some other players other than just leaning on Victor Hedman every single game. Also look at Mason Lurie. I know that Charlie McAvoy could come back any day now, but Lurie has put forth some nice power play usage this season, even when Charlie McAvoy has been healthy. So take a look at Lurie on Boston's power play one with that recent offensive uptick that you mentioned.
I like the Darren Radish shout-out, Pete. I mentioned him earlier in the episode here, and I picked him up on Monday for what looked like a good week, and I'm already a happy owner with a goal and an assist, so maybe Darren Radish has found a spot on my roster. But can you help me out with some goaltenders? I'm always looking for a save, at least on a couple of my teams. I'm really looking for a save. Is there anybody out there that can help me, Pete?
There are. This is a nice week for goaltenders. I know that Marilainen could lose some value when Ullmark comes back in the coming days. That's unfortunate. Jakub Dobish is up to 5-0 and leading the NHL in high danger save percentage. I know it's a small sample size. There's also Elvis Merzlikins, very quietly is among the wins per game leaders, like top 15 among goalies this season. Connor Ingram's back from injury and Utah's looking real good. They beat the Jets. He's allowed 2 goals in each of his first 3 games back. I don't trust Samuel Erison as much, but when you look at what I was saying about the Flyers suppressing shots on goal against, that lends a hand to Erison to go on a nice little 4-game heater right now with a 4-game winning streak and barely any goals allowed in that span.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a difficult time to get some saves and some wins right now in fantasy hockey, especially off the waiver wire. Pete, great stuff. NHL.com/fantasy where you can check out the entire Week 16 waiver wire list. It's time now for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca. As you bring in from NHL.com, it is Chris Meany. Meany, great of you to join us once again this week. And obviously the big story on today's podcast, Connor McDavid suspended 3 games. How are you playing him on the betting market?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the lines look like at Edmonton. I think they'll put Ryan Nugent-Hopkins down the middle of the ice, and Jeff Skinner will be the guy that benefits. You know, he hasn't had a great season, but I would expect him to play on the wing with Zach Hyman. But you look at the Oilers tonight without McDavid, and they're favored against a Washington team that's been remarkable all year long. You look at this Capitals squad, and Logan Thompson, 21-2-3. he has at least 1 point for Washington in 24 of his 26 games. He's one of the biggest stories here in the NHL. He's playing fantastic. You got Jacob Chychrun, who's plus 126 for a point over at Bet365. He's got 13 goals. He's third among defensemen in goals. He's two back Orensky and Kale Makar. And then you look at Ovechkin and the run that he's on, of course, a great eight chase here. So him and Strome for a point, plus 160. You just want to take Strome alone at minus 115. I like the Caps as dogs without McDavid.
I had that game highlighted, boys. Am I missing something, Jake? Like, the Caps have won four in a row. McDavid suspended. Everything leaning, in my world, at least, to Washington. Are you going to take a flyer on the Capitals as well, Jake?
I probably would lean Caps, too, with the line. The one thing I will say, guys, a lot of times when we see the superstar player out for a team, no matter what sport it is, the rest of the team, you know, heightened awareness, Draisaitl steps up. So I think, for me, it just does come down to the price. If it was more of a pick 'em, I'd maybe lean towards the Oilers and say they could get it done. But it's getting a little too steep for me. And like Meany said, and like you said, Nick, Capitals as dogs this year, I mean, that's almost an autoplay, right, with how solid they've been. I wanted to get your guys' take on this one specific game. Okay, we know the Preds have been junk this year. Just a terrible team. I think they're 12 points out of a playoff spot or something like that. Minus 360 tonight against the San Jose Sharks. I get it. San Jose's on the second half of a back-to-back. They're starting Georgiev, I'm assuming, because it was Askarov, so the worst of the two goaltenders. But how do I not fade the Nashville Predators at that kind of price? Like, you guys are going to have to talk me out of this one.
I'll just add, means you can go ahead, but how do you not give Askarov that start is my question. But anyways, take
just let him go back to back. Yeah, I mean, why not? Yeah. I know that some San Jose fans are wondering, like, why wasn't he getting any starts? I think he was under the weather. He was dealing with an illness. So they went Georgiev for a handful of games in a row. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Jake. It's really hard to back them. Even on the puck line tonight, they're minus 135 for the Predators to win by at least two goals. The way to attack this game would be to attack the top line, which has been good for Nashville over the last 2 months. And Philip Forsberg, Jonathan Marchessault, and Steven Stamkos. You can get all those guys for a point at Bet365 for plus 125, and you look at the Sharks, they've lost 6 of 7. You guys are talking about the Bruins scoring 6 goals. The Bruins can't score 6 goals on the majority of teams in the league. They just lit up the San Jose Sharks, who have allowed 14 in their last 3. So maybe stay away from the money line, Nick, but you could attack that top line for a point.
Yeah, that's fair right there. I'm really interested to see what happens here, guys, when it comes to first in the Pacific Division. I wonder, again, what this means for Edmonton not having McDavid moving forward for the next 3 games, but means if you had to pick Edmonton or Vegas, who's going to win first in the Pacific here?
I like Vegas. I'm with Pete. I heard him talk about the Golden Knights earlier. You know, this is a team that's been aggressive at the trade deadline over the past couple of years. They always find a way to add a player or two. And, you know, I think the biggest thing with them is their goaltending, but they're so sound defensively. They don't give up a whole lot of shots. And, you know, Barbashev is back now. He hasn't been fantastic since he's been back in the lineup, but he's had great chemistry with Jack Eichel. So I really like the Vegas Golden Knights. And again, you know, you're looking at teams and you're just projecting, Jake, which teams are going to be aggressive at the deadline. I don't expect them to get JT Miller, but would you be shocked if they added a player like, you know, JT Miller just to add to their offense? No, I wouldn't.
I would absolutely not be shocked. I would never be shocked by anything Vegas does. Like you said, they play that villain role. A lot of other fan bases don't exactly love it because they, you know, they use the LTIR space and they're always aggressive. I think they're entertaining, and I'd expect them to make some sort of splash. Would it be that big? We'll have to wait and see. But I'm interested to see what Vegas does. And I would agree with both you guys. I do still lean Vegas for the division, even though Edmonton's making it interesting. I think one team I'm looking to maybe fade a little bit tonight, guys, is the Philadelphia Flyers. I think the market's getting a little too high on them. A couple nice wins recently. I will give them credit for that. But minus 150 favorites against Detroit. I'd price that a little bit closer to a pick'em. I don't think there's much separating those teams. So, Nick, I'll take a shot plus money on the Detroit Red Wings tonight.
Yeah, this is a sneaky big game, right? I think in the standings, like, that's the curious thing. And producer Phil Constantino and I were talking before we started the podcast today, how, like, even a team like the Islanders have started to cook and win some games. But because of the 3-point league means, they're not really gaining ground in the standings here.
Yeah, it's going to be a really entertaining race in the Eastern Conference because of how many teams that are battling for a couple spots. You look at the Canadiens tonight playing Tampa Bay. They're just 3 points back of the Lightning and just a couple back of the Bruins.
Wild.
That's third in the Atlantic, which is just crazy to think about. We're here towards the end of January. I like the Flyers tonight. I'm with you, Jake, on the odds. Like, it's really steep to back Philadelphia, but Detroit had that coach bump But I still just don't believe in this team overall at 5-5. They've lost 3 of 4. They've allowed 17 goals in their last 3 games, 4+ in 3 of 4. They allowed 6 to the Sharks the other night. And Pete was talking about Philadelphia, just how stingy they are. The fewest shots allowed per game since November 26th. And over at Bet365, you guys know I love these point props. You can take the entire line of Morgan Frost, who's plus 100 for a point tonight. But playing with Owen Tippett and Travis Konechny, Konechny's got 11 points in his last 7. Tippett has 4 points in his past 5. You want to take all 3 of those guys for a point at plus 300. But if you add 3 in that same game parlay, you will get the boost over at Bet365. And that's pushing near 4-1 for all 3 of those guys who are hot to pick up a point against Detroit, who's allowed a lot of goals lately.
Always bringing the heat means I would add too. Is it 3-point or a 3-way tie season, Jake? You know, in the second half of the season, I like to bet a lot of these 3-way ties in important games in the standings, and this could be one of them between Philadelphia and Detroit. Maybe we get some OT tonight.
You get some good value. You get some really good odds on that just for the game to go to overtime. Now, I will say I think it would be smart for these Eastern Conference teams to not do that. Like if you're sure. Philly and Detroit right now, you wanna take the full 2, like go out and win a hockey game, right? But I do tend to think when you get a tie game late, teams get a little bit passive. Nobody wants to lose in regulation, right? You're no longer playing to win. You're just playing not to lose and not walk away with 0 points. So I do think that's something to keep an eye on as the season goes on. Maybe when we get an East and West team playing against each other, guys. I'm going to look to the Dallas Stars on Tuesday night as well. This is a great game. Carolina-Dallas. Two teams, I think, play very similar styles, are built very similarly as well. Just think it's a tough spot for Carolina. They had to battle back, win in overtime on Monday night, then travel to Dallas. The Stars have been excellent at home this year, so I think a good spot to back the Stars tonight.
I'm going to play Nikita Kucherov over 1.5 against the Montreal Canadiens. Vasilevsky's going in that game. Kucherov, a -3 against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm going to look there. Another look, I'm looking ahead to Wednesday already, Chris. Columbus and Toronto, anybody who covers the Leafs knows Columbus plays that team hard. They're coming off a loss to the Islanders, so I could play the Jackets money line in that game. And I think Dennis Hill to be the backup for the Leafs at some point in time. Due for a start here. Maybe it's that game, but I like the over between Columbus and Toronto as well. And I talked about it earlier. I do expect a bit of a response from the Devils on Wednesday after Sheldon Keefe called out the big boys. So give me the Devils 3-way against the Boston Bruins, Means. Anything else to add?
Yeah. I love that call, Nick. And Matthew Nyes is having an unbelievable season, right? Yeah. Austin Matthews is back. He's scoring goals. So, you know, you can take a look at Matthew Nyes. He's usually plus money for a point. Florida's in action tomorrow against the Kings teams. It's really struggling. But I like Florida tonight on the puck line. They're plus 105 against the Ducks. They've allowed the most shots per game in the NHL. They give up 44 in the first half of a home-and-home on Saturday to the Panthers. It was a 3-0 victory by Florida. I think Sam Reinhart played maybe 4 minutes in that game. He had 15 minutes. He was kicked out of the game. But Florida's first in the NHL in shots since the start of November. So again, my point props, you look at Barkov, Tkachuk, and Reinhart, plus 140 for a point. Want to get nuts here on a Tuesday? Let's take them all for 2 points, plus 750. Why not?
Goodness. You're bringing the heat as per usual, Means. Pete, anything you're looking at over the next couple days here, bud?
I'm going to have my eye on the Tampa-Montreal game. I know Montreal is a slight home dog, but this is like a measuring stick game to me, right? Rematch of the Cup Final randomly a couple years ago. But I'm looking at plus 190 for Patrick Laine to score a goal. Still good value there. Also, the 3-way money line is plus 375 for that game to go to overtime. I don't know if Montreal is going to win the game. I could see it being high scoring, high octane, topsy-turvy, go to overtime and show that Montreal is for real here, regardless of who's in net for them.
Yeah, I tell you something, guys. That Montreal team is very difficult to bet against right now, especially when you keep finding them at plus money. I keep hitting them. I keep winning. They're just on complete fire right now. So would I be stunned at all if they come out against Tampa and win that game? Probably not, even with Vasilevsky getting the call for the Lightning. Gents, great job. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca. Jake, anything to add before we wrap here for a Tuesday?
I'm just going to enjoy a varied... I know we're going to talk again pretty quickly on Thursday because we have the Tuesday-Thursday episodes this week, but I'm just going to enjoy a nice balanced schedule this week. After what we saw last week where it was totally imbalanced, you get the busy night, you get the late night, no nights where there's less than four games this week. That's nice. This is what I like to see. So shout out to Schedule Maker. I know we knock it from time to time. Great schedule this week. I'm looking forward to digging into this.
Yeah, that was my massive bone to pick with last week's slate. I feel much better about this week's stagger, so onwards and upwards we go. I'm obligated to tell you about NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers because I was a guest on that pod, so make sure you check that out. Also coming up, as Jake mentioned, Thursday, Week 16, Mailbag Edition. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.